This is Ridgely speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Kathy Shove is the owner of Elite Cruises and Vacations here in Northwest Indiana. And we've talked with her before about the organization. Elite Cruises and Vacations arranges professionally accompanied group cruises and vacations for very special people with very special medical challenges. And on those cruises or vacations includes caregivers and family members. And Kathy is with us today to talk how the organization's been doing since the last time we talked. They had to shut things down because of the start of the pandemic, but things are slowly coming back to normal, I hope. And Kathy, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's just really a joy to have something happy to talk about.
Well, I know that we have to kind of mix the happy with the sad in the conversation, but if you will, first, for people that are not familiar with yourself and with the Elite Cruises and Vacations, talk first about yourself, about how you got involved in all of this and how things were fine up to a point, but unfortunately that was when the coronavirus pandemic hit.
Thank you, Chris. I'm a registered nurse. In fact, I am a geriatric neurology nurse. And I focused my life for years on families and clients with neurological challenges, including strokes, dementia, Parkinson's, MS, ALS, etc. And I realized that everyone has a challenge. Everybody has some kind of a physical challenge. And I wanted to create an opportunity for people to still enjoy experiences with their loved ones, happily with their families. And so we create group cruise events for clients with a challenge and their caregivers, their family, their extended family, so that everyone can still have a fantastic time and make memories that will last forever. So we travel with other nurses, with physical therapists, with physicians, with professionals that can assist people at a ratio of 1 to 4. And we provide group educational opportunities. We provide 2 hours every day of respite sessions for the families. And we just give everyone the opportunity to be able to enjoy a wonderful experience, even though we've got mobility challenges, cognitive issues, and sometimes both. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love what we get to do, and I am excited that we get to do it once again. It is finally coming back. We do have 3 events booked for 2021, and of course we'll have many on our books for 2022.
Now, the last time we talked was about the time that you had to kind of start cutting back and in the not only the number of cruises that you could get involved with Elite Cruises and Vacations, but also, I guess, the cruise industry in general, because it got to the point where nobody could be able to take a cruise or go on vacation, especially with a large group of people, is what you might expect on a cruise ship. What were the challenges that you first discovered that kind of put things on hold, at least for a while?
Well, in March of 2020, bottom line, the CDC just shut it down. Mm-hmm. And there were no flights, there were no cruises, there was nothing. And, you know, COVID had a rampage on the health issues of our loved ones and, you know, the nation in general. So we were in a situation where we were unable to travel at all for 15 months. Just now, many of the cruise lines have actually announced that they will be sailing starting in July, August, September of this year. There will be opportunities for people to go. But there was a point in March of 20 where it just came to an abrupt halt.
At that point, can you tell us whether you had a number of cruises already planned when the CDC finally hit the brakes and shut things down?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We had a full gamut of schedule booked for the entire year of 2020. We were very blessed. We never had any issues at all on the trips that we were in the middle of when it all happened. We came back to the U.S. Everyone returned home safely, and we just from that point waited until it was safe once again.
When was the point that you finally, at least here recently, within the last few months, I'm sure, had a chance to be able to say, okay, we can go back slowly but surely back to what is, I guess, now the new normal?
Well, the CDC has made many new recommendations, and many new accommodations have been made by the cruise lines as far as air sanitation, cleanliness codes. All of the ship's crew and staff will be vaccinated. Our first trip will go to Alaska, and we will sail September 4th through 11th out of Seattle, Washington. That cruise will require the clients and the crew to be vaccinated. So, you know, just decreasing the risk conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the clients will have to prove that they've been vaccinated. We will have to have negative tests. The crew and officers alike will have to be vaccinated and have proof of testing. So I feel very comfortable with my clients in that kind of an environment, far safer than going to the grocery store. it'll be a bubble situation, but we will be able to travel with the safety and confidence that people can be comfortable, that they're safe and that their loved ones are safe.
I know that most cruise lines have ships that are basically registered to other countries other than the United States. Did all of this mean that you had to work extra hard with the cruise lines that are out there to make sure that those particular ships and their crews could meet the guidelines, and in particular the health and safety guidelines that we're all facing now?
Well, if a ship sails from the United States, it has to meet the U.S. guidelines. So if it leaves from a U.S. port, then it has to meet the U.S. guidelines. If you were to sail from a foreign port, then that's a different conversation. But the United States of America demands that ships meet the criteria for safety and health and so forth in the U.S. And even though we frequently sail to foreign countries, we always depart and return to the U.S.
I suppose that just gives you the extra assurance that everything's going to be proper as it should be, and then the crews are certainly very well aware of what they have to do.
Absolutely. And the cruise lines at this point are excited to be able to come back into U.S. ports. You know, they want the business, and they've done monumental things in order to accomplish what's been required of them by the U.S. government.
We're talking with Kathy Shoaf, who is the owner of Elite Cruises and Vacations. It's based here in Northwest Indiana. They're uniquely qualified to understand the travel challenges that some people that have very special medical needs and physical needs face, and try to work out some very effective solutions to those problems. And Kathy, you mentioned earlier about the special cruises, the special treatment that Elite Cruises and Vacations takes to make sure that everybody who signs up for a cruise, regardless of what their physical or mental condition or whatever it may be, they will have a nice cruise. And that probably means an awful lot of work for you as well as for the people that you work with.
We're pretty busy.
I would imagine.
We don't get a lot of sleep. We are on call and available to the families 24/7. Myself and the other RNs that travel with us. And in addition to that, there will be an MD on every ship that is, employed by the cruise line, which we obviously become very good friends with upon arrival. We have never had a major issue, but we've certainly had a lot of UTIs or people that have fallen down and needed some ACE bandages. So we are always accessible. We're always available. Because with the population that I am so driven to work with, there's going to be issues. And I just tell every family, we're going to have challenges, and we've got this. We're going to help you. We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure out what we need to do so that your loved one is happy and that you guys have an amazing time. So we have done enough of these trips now that there's never going to be a smooth, worry-free experience, but it is amazing to watch people get to be happy once again, and it certainly has changed the way I view my career as a nurse.
I was going to ask you, since you've made enough of these cruises over the years here, to know how the people that get involved in the cruises feel, and certainly when they finish up a cruise, they get finally coming back home, they probably feel sad about having to leave the ship and leave the cruise, but they probably still feel very gratified that they've had a very enjoyable time as best as they can.
Oh, absolutely. There are always tears when we have to say goodbye. It truly, genuinely, they become part of our family. And I am blessed to have so many repeat clients. I have clients that have traveled with us 8 times. You know, they just, the phone call says, where are we going next? Make sure I've got a cabin that works. You know, they are happy. They're joyful. They get to see the world. They get to enjoy experiencing beautiful, happy places, and their loved ones are well taken care of. And it's those repeat clients are my greatest honor.
Mm-hmm. They're probably just as happy as those people who make multiple trips to the Disney properties, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
I would think so.
I'm on that list.
Now, you mentioned here about the Alaska cruises that are coming up, and I know that the next one that is definitely on the list is going to be about a week or so away, on June 30th through July 6th. It's being called the Canada and East Coast Independence Celebration. Will you tell us more about that?
Well, the cruise that you're speaking of, unfortunately, Cunard has canceled.
Oh, okay.
They are still canceling some cruises if they do not feel that they can accomplish what the CDC expects of them. And so even though I'm disappointed that we don't get to go up to Boston for the 4th of July, I'm very grateful that the cruise lines are that fastidious and that interested in keeping everybody accountable for what's right. So our first cruise will be September the 4th through 11th. That'll be the first time I personally take a group on a cruise this calendar year. Now, there are ships that are going to sail prior to that, and they're going to sail out of Florida. And so it is possible. In fact, I have a gentleman that booked his whole family on a cruise yesterday, and they will sail out of Florida. And their whole, like, 9 cabins, they're going to go. Their whole family's going to leave. And those are definitely going to be available starting July, August, you know, September. Those kind of trips are going to happen from the U.S. port.
Well, Kathy, if anybody has any questions, if they're interested, if even it's just curiosity, for that matter, about what Elite Cruises and Vacations does, and certainly the website goes into much detail as to how the cruises are handled, and to allay any fears, or as many fears, I would imagine, as possible for anybody who's interested in taking mom or dad or grandfather or aunt or uncle on a trip, and they have special needs to speak of that otherwise they might not be able to make a trip. Where can they find out more now?
The website is Elite Cruises and vacationstravel.com. Mm-hmm. And my phone number is 219-608-2002. And I am excited to just answer questions. Problem solve, figure it out. We travel with power wheelchairs, power scooters, regular wheelchairs. We will create opportunities so that everybody gets to have a good time and everybody's safe.
Well, Kathy, thank you for spending time with us to talk about not only the business and how you've had to deal, of course, with the pandemic and the complete shutdown here at the start of the pandemic and the fact that things are slowly resuming and more people are finally having an opportunity to take those cruises, the vacations that they maybe had been dreaming about, to be sure, and to get their family members to come along with them, too. Thanks for talking today.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate the opportunity.
Kathy Schoaf is the owner of Elite Cruises and Vacations here in Northwest Indiana, and you're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. This next story comes to you from the Welcome Project at Valparaiso University. The Welcome Project collects first-person stories and pairs these with intentional conversations to help forge stronger ties within and across our communities.
This goes way back to before the Emancipation Proclamation. My grandfather's father was born in Virginia, and he knew about sea plants and what you could eat and what you couldn't. A whaler, a man who was captain of a whaling ship, fell in love with George, my grandfather's father, because he was a wonderful cook. And no one who ate his food on a ship got scurvy. "George, as long as you are on my ship, you're free." He said, "But if you go out there, do you know what's going to happen? They're going to snatch you and want to take you to the plantation." Now, this whaling ship, it didn't go too far out into the Atlantic, because at that time, they would go up and down the East Coast. They would leave Boston and go all the way down to the Carolinas, way down around the edge of Florida, sail out to sea a little bit, then come on back. In order to see his family, the cook would slip out at night and go to see his family in Virginia. And he'd have to hide. And sometimes some of the seamen say, "George, come on with me, and we're going to take you back to the ship." And so they would do that in the dark, because they didn't want to have to fight someone, you know, because they would want to take George back into the plantation and put him back into slavery, you know. My grandfather was a Baptist minister, and he wanted to find a better and larger church. So he was asking around, and he talked to a very well-known man called Booker T. Washington. And Booker T. Washington said, "George," my grandfather's first name was George, "George," he says, "go west. Everybody's going west. Go west. Go to St. Louis. They're begging for ministers." So Granddaddy packed up his family, and they moved to St. Louis, Missouri. They had to practice, because when they went to school, these people were talking, and the people were saying, "Tomato," and they would stand in front of the mirror and say, because they were coming and saying "tomato" and then speaking, you know, and my grandmother was so angry. She says, "Just go ahead and you'll learn in time." Because she was provoked herself that she had to learn too, you know. I was born at my grandmother's home in St. Louis, Missouri. My mother fell down a back stairway at her mother's home, my grandmother. And because she fell, it caused her to have delivery of myself and my twin brother. I have a twin brother, Henry. And because we were at my grandmother's home, she insisted that we be called the doctor. And he came, delivered us, and he made a comment, "The girl doesn't have a chance. She won't live. But the boy, he might live." We were 2.5 pounds. Mother said that she could slide her hand under both of us. One was in one palm and one was in the other. My grandmother was a Quaker, and she used olive oil and bathed us in olive oil all times, because we did not go to the hospital, because in St. Louis, black babies and black mothers were not admitted to the hospitals there. But I'm still here. I'm 101 years old.
You can find more regional stories at welcomeproject.valpo.edu. Valparaiso University Assistant Civil Engineering Professor is continuing his research into the types of traffic signal detection systems that are used on Hoosier highways with a $31,000 grant from NDOT. Jay Grossman was on Regionally Speaking to talk about his latest project and how it'll benefit both NDOT and his students in the classroom back at the university.
This is actually a second part of a project that we started 3 years ago with NDOT. Mm-hmm. And what they're looking at is, for traffic signal systems, they're looking at different ways to detect cars who are waiting for the traffic signal to change. And we've used an older technology called inductive loops for a long time, since the 1960s. It's tried and true, and it works well, but there's a lot of new technologies that have been coming on the market over probably the last 10 to 15 years. And so periodically, NDOT will make efforts to evaluate those new detection systems and see if they work as well as the current stuff that we've been using. And so that's what we worked on before. We looked at some magnetometers. They're look like little hockey pucks that you core drill and put into the center of a lane, and they will detect, I guess, the magnetic impulse of a vehicle that crosses over the top of it. And then we looked at a couple of different camera systems using video camera feeds to detect vehicles.
Is the little puck system, I guess for a better name to call it, is it something like a radar that helps pick up vehicles when they cross over it, and that in turn lets information get on to NDOT about it?
It's not quite radar. It's actually just it detects a change in the magnetic field, and so it's really just based on the amount of metal in the vehicle coming through. Now, one of them we are going to test, we hope to test, in this new project is radar,
okay.
And that will be up on the actual arm that goes above the road, and it sends its beam out and records, you know, as the car approaches. And there's been radar systems out for about 15 years now, but they keep getting better, and so NDOT thinks they're good enough now to take a shot at trying those out.
What kind of benefits will NDOT be able to gain, and that you as well will, I'm sure, too, that you can use in the classroom from the information that you're going to gather?
So the biggest thing with NDOT is, the older systems we have are all buried in the pavement, and they have wires that run back to the cabinet, the box on the side of the road that operates the signal. And those, but maintenance-wise can be problematic. You know, mm-hmm. It's easy if you repave a road, you dig them up, and with the freeze and thaw cycle, sometimes the wires break and so forth. So you get a pothole usually right over the top of one of your wires, and so then you lose detection, and that's not a good thing. It just becomes, the signal becomes more inefficient then. The pucks don't have any wires. They all repeated wirelessly back to your signal cabinet, and so you didn't have to worry about that piece of it. And obviously the camera and the radar systems don't have anything in the ground at all. And so from that side of it, if they work well, from that side of it, there should be less maintenance in the long run for it. And some of the other benefits are is if you have a internet connection to your cabinet, you can remotely monitor how your intersection is doing. So when someone calls in and complains that, they waited there 5 minutes and the light never turned, you can pull up the camera system and see it without having to drive out there. And I know places I've worked in the past, that can save us 45 minutes. If we can see it from the office, you really save a lot of time. So it really makes your workforce a lot more efficient. So that's really, I think, what NDOT is looking for is, one thing is, to have more options when they're installing detection for signals, and all NDOT signals nowadays have detection added to them, and to lower the maintenance cost in the long run, and maybe get some other benefits out of it too, depending on the manufacturer's system. For the classroom, it's really great to be able to bring that in and show the students what the current technology can do. And in fact, we just covered this we have an intro to transportation class there on campus. Just last week, we were talking about detection, and so showing them videos from some of the systems we used, including similar video systems to what we have been researching with NDOT. And we talked about the original, the inductive loop systems that we already have, and then looked at some of these newer technologies so they know what's coming, and talk about how they operate and what the pros and cons of each one of them are.
Mm-hmm. What kind of timetable do you have in your mind, or at least you have set forth, and maybe we had to put in applying for the grant with NDOT, to show them that you've got at least some of the ideas together and how the work is going to come along, and when would NDOT like to have some information back?
The way this current grant is set up is it's going to be in three parts, because we build into it the option to test at least three different detection systems. And the goal would be, according to the grant, is that we'll be done in 2 years. And so it'll run through the end of 2022, and we should be finished by then. It does depend on the manufacturer of the systems, because they have to bring the system out and set it up and get it ready to go, and we have to find a contractor to come on site and do all of this. So there's a lot of parts that have to fit for it to work, but it could be up to three. It could be a minimum of one, but up to three different systems that we test.
And do you like to have this, I guess, within the next year or two? Do you think it'll be done that quickly, or is it going to be a long-term project, or some of it will be long-term?
It's these three systems, if they all, assuming the timing works out well with contractors and so forth, we should be able to do those pretty quick. Once they're installed, we don't get involved in installation except, some coordination pieces of it. But once they're installed, collecting the data takes about 6 weeks, and then it takes us about another 6 weeks really to analyze that data. And we often will do a first test and give the initial results both to NDOT and the manufacturer. And then if they want to make some changes and try again, we'll let them do that. So it's a we give them at least two tries, and so each try is about 6 weeks long.
That's Valparaiso University Civil Engineering Assistant Professor Jay Grossman talking about his continuing research, aided with an NDOT grant. The American Rescue Plan Tour is visiting Lake County today. That conversation is coming up next. You're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. This week is another week in what some can consider, at least as far as the Indiana Democratic Party is concerned, an opportunity to use a non-election year. That is, there are no campaigns and no elections this year, to go out there and talk with people around Indiana, and in particular here in Northwest Indiana, about some of the major issues. And the latest one is, in fact, the name of the tour itself, the American Rescue Plan Tour, which is a statewide campaign to be a good news delivery. And one of the people involved in this here in Lake County is Lake County Democratic Party Chairman Jim Weiser. And Jim, thanks for joining us on the program today, first off.
Sure, Chris, happy to.
Well, tell us a little bit more about what the Indiana Democratic Party has planned with the series of visits around the state for this tour, and in more detail about the one that is coming up this afternoon here in Lake County.
Sure. The state party, in conjunction actually with the national party, thought that it would be appropriate for the American people to know exactly how the funds that were approved in the American Rescue Plan directly benefits them. And in doing so, particularly in red states like Indiana, where our seven Republican congressmen and two senators voted against the plan, to let them know who's responsible for getting benefits directly to them, that it's the Biden administration and the Democratic Congress. So we wanted to make that clear to folks in all walks of life, particularly here in Lake County, particularly the union members. And so the idea was conceived to have this tour around the state and select certain counties to bring this message across, and fortunately Lake County was selected as one. And so we're having the rally today at Wicker Park from 4 to 5:30. That's going to be right behind the Social Center in that large grassy area. And the speakers will be our Congressman Frank Mervan, who voted in favor of that the rescue plan, and Mayor McDermott from Hammond to speak about how it benefits municipalities directly. We'll have State Senator Eddie Melton to talk about the legislature and its impact on what it is doing with the funds that the states receive. We're fortunate enough to have our State Party Chairman Mike Schmall, who will talk about it. And also Gleneva Dunham, who's a union official with the American Federation of Teachers, to talk how this benefits education, teachers, and the unions. And so we have a combination of congressmen who speaks from a larger perspective through Northwest Indiana, the state, our state chairman, Mike Schmall, who speaks on a larger state focus, but then we have the three local folks there to talk about how it directly benefits municipalities and organizations and people in Lake County.
Has the Indiana Democratic Party done anything like this in the past, where they've had the opportunity to go out literally from county to county and talk with people, with local officials coming in to reinforce the message?
Not that I'm aware of, and of course we couldn't do it for the last 4+ years because it was a Republican administration that did nothing in 4 years other than pass a tax cut that helped the wealthy and put conservative judges on the bench. Other than that, they've done nothing. This is our chance, our opportunity as a party to show that government can work, and it can work at all levels, and the result of that can be a direct benefit to hardworking people, to people in the middle class, to the working class. It will help create jobs, and of course, we're also going to mention the potential jobs plan as well. That will create, you know, millions of good-paying jobs, many in our community. People need to know that, and people need to understand that, and know that when government works, and and the benefits go directly to the people, that's what it's designed to do.
I imagine that it's very difficult for a local political party to be able to get the message out locally when a lot of this information only gets disseminated out of from Washington primarily and to maybe to the state capitals. So it's time that some of these messages, especially on something with such an impact as the American Rescue Plan has, to get out to the localities.
It's a challenge. There's no question about that, Chris. Social media has helped immeasurably in that regard because we've been able to get it out directly to our membership, that is to all of our precinct people, to our city and town chairman, to our Democratic voters, and let them know. Chris, it's unbelievable what this amounts to, and I think you're right how people don't understand. For example, there's going to be $94.1 million of additional funding that goes directly to Lake County for programs and projects.
Mm-hmm.
Over $83 million to the city of Gary. Over $53 million to the city of Hammond. $33 million to East Chicago. And most importantly, $173 million to the schools in Lake County that so desperately need it because they've been underfunded, understaffed, and poorly paid under Republican administrations. And this is going to raise the level of funding that's going to make the education of our kids stronger and more viable in the future.
And I suppose, too, besides helping communities as well as school districts bounce back from the economic issues, we're talking about families as well trying to bounce back from the pandemic still.
Well, that's exactly it. This isn't a giveaway program like some on the other side are trying to cast this. This is a program that is going to help people recover from the worst pandemic that we've seen in our lifetime, the worst pandemic since 1918, and maybe even worse than that, and help them recover and help the schools recover and help kids get back to school and get back on their learning track and make sure that that they could continue to grow even though they lost some time. I mean, I know the schools tried as well as they could in terms of hybrid teaching or remote teaching and remote learning, but it isn't like being in the classroom.
We're talking with Lake County Democratic Party Chairman Jim Weiser about the Indiana Democratic Party continuing another week of what is called the American Rescue Plan Tour with officials not only from state Democratic Party, but local parties as well, too, making a visit of counties to talk about the importance of the benefits coming out from Washington through the Biden administration's passage and turn, even though there's been opposition in Congress, to the American Rescue Plan. Today's program is going to be in Lake County at Wicker Park in Highland, beginning at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Jim, tell us a little bit more about some of the efforts locally here to be able to get ready, I suppose, for the next election cycle, even though you have a little break now and you're able to take advantage of the break to be able to join in this campaign.
That's a good point, Chris. We had a reorganization meeting in early March under the party rules. Both parties did, in fact, mm-hmm. Republican and Democrat. And I was fortunately and gratefully reelected. And I had a meeting shortly thereafter with our city and town chairman. And I said, "Look, everybody says that this is a non-election year. Can't deny that, but it is not an off year. Those days are over. We began in April to put together a plan to move forward and build the party infrastructure this year. This is the year we're going to use to build the party infrastructure to make us to allow us to be on the ground, boots on the ground, and running in 2022. Not wait till Labor Day of 2022, but begin now to put everything in place so we're ready to go in January and in the midterms." And the whole idea is, and Mike Schmoll and I have a number of conversations, we have an idea about a partnership with the state on how some additional resources are going to be provided to Lake County in Northwest Indiana in terms of getting someone here to organize, getting us to begin to work with voters, to register voters, to educate voters to move forward with party infrastructure in terms of getting our message out, to hold events similar to this one, maybe not on this same scale, but similar to this one throughout the county during the course of the year.
Now, do you know from the folks from the State Democratic Party and helping get the tours set up, have they set sort of a little blueprint that each county gets to follow? And this is case Lake County, when everybody gets together for the event at 4 o'clock this afternoon. With all of the participants involved, what you're going to talk about, what you're going to focus on in particular, or are you going to kind of let the state party chairman kind of set the stage?
No, we've had those discussions, mm-hmm. and we've had those exchanges of information. The state party's done a great job in putting together a capsulized version of the benefits of the rescue plan, the benefits of the proposed jobs plan, and they've gotten it out to myself and my officers, and we've gotten it out into the field. So, and we were real careful in the selection of the speakers. The state party, their thought was we needed someone, and I agree with them wholeheartedly, to present the global picture on the statewide basis, and that will be our state chairman, Mike Schmull.
Mm-hmm.
We needed someone who, in fact, voted for the plan, who's in Congress that helped put the plan together, and could speak to that in Northwest Indiana, and that, of course, is our congressman. Then we wanted someone that could say, hey, here's the benefits to communities, to municipalities, that all municipalities get to share in to help them overcome the loss of revenue and the loss of hours and manpower and everything else that happened during the pandemic, and that's Mayor McDermott. We have a union representative. So it was carefully put together so that we had people we think are dynamic speakers who do a good job of getting the point across and emphasizing their areas of expertise.
Now, would you be surprised if the loyal opposition, the Republican Party, would happen to have representatives come by? If not, certainly not ones to protest or to boycott the event today, but certainly to listen in and find out more detail about what's going to be planned?
Well, if that's the case, I'd welcome them. Mm-hmm. They need to learn it as well as Democrats. This is an American plan. This isn't a plan for Republicans or Democrats. Unfortunately, the Republican elected officials didn't support it, other than the fact that they're now running around the state of Indiana trying to claim credit for it. That, you know, hey, look at all this money the state got. Look at all this money you're getting in your locale. They're running around the state doing that. And the hypocrisy is just appalling. But that doesn't mean that whether you're, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, you're welcome there today to our rally to listen to this. And I hope that they come by to listen, because they're going to find out that what's going on in Washington is a complete reversal of what happened over the prior administration, and that good things are being done that directly benefit working class people and all of us, quite frankly, and only makes our community stronger, safer, and better.
Indiana Democratic Party is continuing another week of the American Rescue Plan Tour around the state of Indiana to counties in the Hoosier State, and today, June 22nd at 4 p.m. is Lake County's event. It's coming at Wicker Park in Highland with speakers that include Congressman Frank Mervan, who voted for the American Rescue Plan in Congress, and Indiana Democratic State Chairman Mike Schmull, and Jim Weiser, the Lake County Democratic Party Chairman. Thank you for joining us for the news on this, and we hope that there's a good turnout. A beautiful day at Wicker Park. Certainly no rain in the forecast today, and that might encourage many more people to come out. Thanks for being with us to talk about it.
Okay, you're welcome, Chris. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte. Our thanks to our guests, and thank you for joining us, and we'll be back with you tomorrow.